what we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a great morning. It's a crisp and dry morning in Texarkana, Texas. We've been having a lot of rain, and rain is a tough thing, especially when you have dogs, especially when you have a large dog as we do. Jenna Ellis has 2 golden doodles that are about 40 pounds, I think she told me, 30, 40 pounds. And Debbie and I have a golden doodle, and Ellie May, and we call her Big L's because she's pushing 80 pounds, and it's tough. She likes to run in the backyard, and she just digs up mud, and when it's wet back there, it's just a mess. So she is thankful that the rain has stopped so she can run and play again. Well, I want to talk to you today about this subject, the cure for a blue Christmas. You know, we're getting very close to Christmas, and I think it was Elvis Presley who had the famous song Blue Christmas. Here, little clip of it just to jog your memory.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue. Christmas tree won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me.
So that is Elvis singing Blue Christmas, and a lot of people are facing a blue Christmas. We want to talk about that subject today. Now, he was missing his sweetheart, somebody he broke up with, and Christmas wasn't going to be the same. But what do you do if you're looking at Christmas and your heart is sad? Well, this is what the Bible says. Rejoice, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. This isn't Paul writing from the beach somewhere on a nice summer vacation. He's writing from imprisonment in Rome. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. That means worry about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. What is the cure for the Christmas blues? It's to rejoice in the Lord. Hey, circumstances change with the wind. We don't rejoice in circumstances. If you just got a report that says you have cancer, you don't rejoice in that report. So often you can't rejoice in the circumstances because the circumstances are terrible. But you can always rejoice in the Lord who doesn't change, the Lord who loves you, the Lord who gave his son for you on the cross, sent his son as we celebrate at Christmas. You can rejoice in the Lord, the God who works all things together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. And so we can rejoice in him, and we can cease to worry about things. That's why it says be anxious for nothing. But in everything, you pray about it. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, thank God in every situation you find yourself. We, like I said, we're not thankful for the bad circumstances, but we're thankful that God is over those bad circumstances. So if you did get a cancer report, Lord, I thank you that you're greater than this cancer. I thank you that this didn't sneak up on you. I thank you that I can trust you even in the midst of this. You're my refuge and strength. You're a very present help in trouble. And here's the wonderful thing. The Lord says, as we pray, as we give him thanks, as we give him praise, that the peace of God, which doesn't make sense to our human minds, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There will be peace in the midst of a storm as you do what the Lord tells you to do. And then he says, now, watch what you think about. So don't think on negative things. Don't think about the sad things in life. Don't reflect on those things. Don't let that occupy your mind. But whatever is true, think on that. Whatever is honorable, think on that. Whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, that's what you fill your mind with. And as you let your mind dwell on those things, you know, if you fill your mind with negatives, your life becomes negative. But if you fill your life with positives and the good things and the blessings, then you start to feel those things, and you start to experience those things in your mind, and you start to say, hey, life is good, not life is terrible. Now, how many of you saw the movie It's a Wonderful Life? It's a Christmas classic, although my wife doesn't like, for whatever reason, I don't get it, she doesn't like It's a Wonderful Life. My wife was a high school teacher, and she loves high school type movies, but she doesn't like the classic Grease with John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John. So there's some things that just don't fit. So she should love It's a Wonderful Life, but she doesn't. But for those of you that have seen It's a Wonderful Life, you're going to understand this illustration. For those of you who haven't seen It's a Wonderful Life, You owe it to yourself this Christmas to watch it. But in It's a Wonderful Life, George Bailey, the main character, Jimmy Stewart, he starts to think negative thoughts, and he is given bad news right before Christmas. Hey, the bank examiner is coming or has come. I forget quite the details of it. It's been a while since I've seen the movie, but bad news. You have an $8,000 shortfall. And it's his uncle that lost this money to Mr. Potter. And Potter's just a horrible person, but he's behind all this. Anyway, George is in trouble. And George is thinking to himself, I'm going to go to prison for this. My life is just wrecked and ruined. And it would have been better for me to have never been born. And so in the movie, God gives him a glimpse of what life would be like if he had never been born. And the whole movie is George gaining perspective. And hey, maybe that's your situation. You need to gain perspective. You have just been filling your mind with the negatives, how bad things are. And you need to flip the script. You need to start seeing how good things are. So in It's a Wonderful Life, George gets perspective. Clarence, the angel that's sent to him to help him see that he really had a wonderful life, but you're not seeing it correctly. You're not seeing all the good things. You're just seeing all the negatives. And so he gains that perspective. He starts to see, man, my life really was good, and I had a wonderful wife, and I had great kids, and I had friends, and I had a purpose. And so he prays to God in that classic scene on the bridge, please, God, I want to live again. Please let me live again. And the Lord answers his prayer. and he comes back to reality, and now he has a whole new lease on life because he sees it from a positive blessings perspective rather than a negative curses perspective. Hey, maybe that's what you need today. Maybe that's the cure for your blue Christmas if you are fighting off the blues, if you feel depression creeping up on you this Christmas, if you've suffered loss. And I mean, that's a real thing. You know, we can try and sugarcoat things and you know, put on rose-colored glasses, but you have to live in reality. And so if you've lost a loved one, if tragedy has struck, I mean, those are real things. But no matter what tragedy you have experienced or are experiencing right now, God is still God. God is still good. God still loves you. God is still on his throne. God is still working all things together for good. We can rejoice in the Lord. You can make the choice to rejoice. You can offer up, he who offers up a sacrifice of thanksgiving, the scripture says, honors me. And sometimes thanksgiving is a sacrifice because sometimes the circumstances are such that it's very difficult to thank the Lord. But when we do it as a sacrifice, when we do it looking past the circumstances and we say, God, but you're still God and you're still good and you're still worthy, worthy, worthy. And I don't know how you're going to use this together for good. Sure doesn't seem like there's any good that could possibly come out of situation X, whatever situation X is. But God, I know that you can do all things. You know, God does his best work in the darkest of places. When you think about the cross, we call the Friday that Jesus died on the cross, we call it Good Friday. But that's looking back in real time. They didn't call that Good Friday. They called it Terrible Friday. They called it Horrible Friday. They called it the worst Friday ever. This one that we thought was Messiah, this one that we thought was going to, set up the kingdom. He's been crucified. It's the worst of the worst of the worst. And all our dreams have been shattered. All our hopes have been shattered. And they put Jesus in that tomb, and they rolled the stone over the tomb, and Jesus is in a dark place. God does his best work in the darkest of places. And in 3 days, Jesus rose from the dead, changed everything for every single person. You know, we talk about the cross, and we should. But the cross doesn't have power outside of the empty tomb. If Jesus just dies on the cross and doesn't rise from the dead, that doesn't help you. That doesn't help me. What good is a dead Savior? A dead Savior can't save anybody. But Jesus isn't dead. He's alive forevermore. Hey, you may be in a dark, dark spot today. God knows. God cares. Humble yourself, Peter says, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Literally, it matters to him concerning you. And so we just trust him and we pour all those things out. Trust in him, Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. He's a safe place. He's a place where you can truly pour out your heart. You can tell him what is bothering you. You can tell him about your fears. You can tell him about your disappointments. You can tell him everything. You can share with him. You can be vulnerable with him. God is that refuge. He's that safe place. He's the God who cares. And he's the God who's a very present help in trouble. Hey, as you fill your mind with the good things of God, you don't have to have a blue Christmas. You can have a joyous Christmas, even in the midst of difficulties, even in the midst of problems, even in the midst of the worst of conditions. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can get through anything in life. I know how to get along with humble means, he says, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstances, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him, through Jesus, who strengthens me. And the Lord is in the life of every Christian to strengthen you. The joy of the Lord, as Nehemiah said, is your strength. And so focus in on the joy of the Lord. Focus in on what Christmas is all about. Focus in on the fact that I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there's been born for you. It's a personal thing. Jesus came for you, born for you, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about the cure for the Christmas blues. And as we get back into this subject, I did want to take a little detour because maybe you have heard about the bill Congress was trying to pass and get people to vote on this bill. It was a hurry up. Here is the bill. It's 1,500 pages for $100 billion. Here, you guys, congressmen, you have 19 hours to look at this bill that's 1,500 pages and vote on it. That's $100 billion, and we want you to vote on it. You know, it's the Nancy Pelosi. We have to sign it so that we can have time to read it and then see what's in it. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You know, we talk about the need for wisdom. Proverbs is the book in the Bible that's about wisdom, 31 chapters. Read one proverb every day, and as you read, ask God to give you wisdom. James 1:5, but if any of you lacks wisdom, what is that? Seeing life from God's perspective. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And God does promise as we pray, Lord, help me to be wise. I don't want to be a fool. I want to be wise. Well, this idea that we're going to pass this $100 billion bill without even knowing what's in it is just insane. And so this is from the X account, the red-headed libertarian, and this lady puts this. What's in the bill? What do they get? Well, in the bill is $60 billion to Ukraine, unconstitutional force of courts to protect Congress, past and future blanket immunity for the deep state, unconstitutional emergency powers, mask and vaccine mandates, gain of function research, vaccine passports, funding of 12 biolabs. What do we get? Hurricane aid. So it's one of those, terrible pork-filled bill, and Elon Musk called it out. He said, hey, we're getting ready to vote on this. Let your congressman know that you don't want to do this. And Elon Musk, who is probably one of the most brilliant men alive, the richest man in the world, and he's on the Department of Government Expenditures, and he and Vivek Ramaswamy are going to integral part of Donald Trump's administration to cut spending. This is what he had to say on spending.
We have to reduce federal spending. There's no way to make up for it other than reducing the federal spending. And as I mentioned earlier, like a very important point that I think is important for people to understand is that all federal spending is taxation. Because what the federal government doesn't receive in direct revenue, they make up for in inflation. They just print money. So all federal spending is taxation. Very important principle. Almost nobody, very few people seem to, even like, you know, somebody's like spend their life in economics, I'll mention to them, hey, all federal spending is taxation. They're like, first they'll argue with me and they're like, then they will agree. It is. Because it is either direct tax revenue or it is inflation. All federal spending is taxation. So we must reduce federal spending or we will go bankrupt as a country. All right.
So Elon Musk, he really called out this huge $100 billion bill of that Congress was going to sign of waste. And somebody wrote the X account End Wokeness said, if not for X, Congress would have gotten away with this ridiculous spending bill. Business as usual is over. And Elon commented and said, either there is massive change or America goes bankrupt. Therefore, there must be massive change. I mean, I realize that some things in politics can get very complicated and hairy and confusing, but just think about it in your own finances. You know, you can't just charge on your credit card to no end. Eventually, the bills come due. And if you look at your life, if you're going to live a life of of being prudent, being wise, well, you'd one of the basic things is you can't spend money that you don't have, and you can't live way over your means. Debbie and I have always practiced the financial principle of living under your means, and so that way you always have margin, you always have financial margin. Well, America doesn't practice that at all. It's just ridiculous. We just think, well, it's just the government. We can waste all this money. It doesn't matter. It does matter. And it's just killing our country and killing the future when you just keep adding to the debt, adding to the debt, adding to the debt. Well, this is what Jesse Waters had to say about this bloated $100 billion spending bill that Congress was trying to slip through. Here's your 1,500 pages, congressmen and congresswomen. You have just a few hours to vote on it. This is what Jesse Waters had to say about it.
Christmas is only a week away, and while you're out doing last-minute shopping, so's Congress. But here's the difference. You have a budget, Congress doesn't. And Congress just got caught trying to put $100 billion on our credit card. How long does $100 billion last? Probably all year, right? No, 2.5 months. And then they do it all again. Look at this. Look how many pages this is. It's 1,500 pages. They released it last night. We're supposed to read it and vote on it today, but no one read it except us. They tried to write into law that no one's allowed to look at Congress's emails. So if I get a subpoena, you get a subpoena, we have to hand our emails over. But Congress, if they get a subpoena, they don't have to. So if Trump wants to investigate the January 6th committee to find out what happened, you can't see the politicians' emails. If Nancy's texting Paulie P about investment opportunities, no one's allowed to see it. Congress just tried to write a law that puts them above the law. I thought no one was above the law. Didn't they say that all last year? Congress is also funding a censorship program. They're giving money to the State Department to censor things that they don't like online. We're funding Congress to take away our free speech. And remember vax mandates. They're back. Congress is funding more vax mandates, you know, for the next pandemic. The section of the bill is called Pandemic Preparedness. Gain of function, you know, the risky experiments that flew out of Wuhan and killed a million of us. Congress is trying to fund gain of function research again. I'm sure not here in America. I'm sure we funded it to some other country like Ukraine or China, somewhere in Africa. Oh, no. 12 new bio labs that won't leak, they swear.
That was Jesse Waters talking about what was in this 1,500 page bill. And thankfully, Elon Musk, just through the power of social media, he alerted the people on X, Twitter X, you know, it used to be Twitter, now it's X. He alerted the people, and people started calling their congressman, don't vote for this. You vote for this, and we're going to remember, and you're going to be in trouble the next election. And so these congressmen said, hey, I'm not going to vote for this, because if we keep just adding to the debt, just like in your own personal finances, you keep adding and adding and adding debt onto your credit card and onto your portfolio, so to speak, you're going to be in trouble. And eventually you get to the place where you can't even pay the interest on your credit cards. And it's a sad deal. I remember talking to a guy once when I was working for an Alco Chemical Company, and he had like $40,000 in credit card debt. And I mean, it just blew my mind, because I was like, good night. I don't have any credit card debt because Debbie and I always lived under our means. We always paid our bills. And if we couldn't afford it, we didn't buy it. And that's a good way to live. But if you just live high on the hog, oh, we'll just charge it, we'll just charge it, we'll just charge it, eventually get to the place where you are going to file bankruptcy because you can't live under that choking debt. So I am thankful that Elon Musk is already on the job, alerting Americans to the dangers of out-of-control spending, and we have to get that under control. Now, when Trump takes office and these measures go into effect where things are going to start being cut, you talk about hearing the screaming from Washington. We're going to hear those screams. And, you know, good people are going to get caught in the crosshairs of this. There's, you know, it's like being at war. There is going to be some collateral damage. But overall, it is necessary. You know, I had a guy say, well, you know, what about the good people that are going to lose their jobs? It's like, hey, you either cut spending or you save jobs. You can't do both because people are going to lose their jobs. If you cut out departments and you just say, we're not funding this, we're not funding that, we're not funding the other. And as my old boss told me one time, so very true, there's always a job for a good employee. There's always a job for somebody who is responsible and respectful and hardworking and intelligent and, you know, applies himself, herself. And so then the onus is back on the individual. And I need to better myself, and I need to be an asset to whatever company would potentially hire me. So that is the sanity insanity segment. Obviously, there was insanity with this new spending bill. The sanity seems to have won out. I was going to play a clip from Joe Biden. Maybe you saw this, sanity insanity. Joe Biden was interviewed, and he didn't use her by name, but he was talking about Nancy Pelosi and the fact that she's made so much money off the stock market through what appears to be insider trading. And, you know, didn't get called out for it. But she has left her position in government with a net worth of $240 million through all these, you know, stock transactions. And Joe Biden was just saying, we need to change the law on that. It's not right for Congress to be able to trade because they have information that other people don't have. And so, obviously, there's not a lot of love lost between Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi. They were big buddies till Nancy threw him under the bus. And Obama seems to be involved in that, too, where they basically just said, Joe, you're out. And Joe didn't want to be out, but he didn't have much choice. And so, so as he is on his way out of the one term he had as president, he seems to be lashing out, as Jesse Waters said in an interview I saw. He said Joe's on the revenge trail to show those that did him dirty in his mind, hey, I can get back at you. So all that was a little detour as we have been talking about the cure for the Christmas blues. And if you're struggling this Christmas, hey, continue to fix your mind on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Put your eyes on him. Trust him. He is the God who gives us joy. He is the God who gives us peace in the midst of a storm. He is the God that can do anything. And knowing him is worth everything. The Lord says in the book of Jeremiah, let not the rich man boast of his riches. Let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom. But let him who boasts of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. Hey, if you know the Lord, you have something to boast about. We don't boast about ourselves. We boast about him. And we boast about the fact that we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. about the Lord who will never leave us and never forsake us. You know, Hebrews 3:13, where it says that, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. What do I have? I have Jesus. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So he has said that, I will be with you through thick and thin. I will never leave you, so that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? The Lord is my helper. The God who can do anything, he's my helper. You know, you think about studying for or taking a class in school, and it's a very difficult class, and you need a tutor. You need somebody to help you learn the material. You're trying to learn how to play golf. You need a golf instructor. You know, whatever it is in life, I need somebody to show me how to do this. Well, the writer of Hebrews says, hey, you have the Lord. The Lord is my helper. And when the Lord is helping you do the things he's called you to do, you can do those things, and you can do them well, because not only is he your helper, he's your strength. He's the one who lives inside. He's the one who says, listen, if you will just yield to me, I will do this through you. As Gideon was called by God to fight the Midianites, the scripture says the Lord clothed himself with Gideon. The Lord moved upon Gideon. He wore Gideon like a suit of clothes. That's how you live the Christian life. You just let the Lord who lives in you, let him live through you. And when that happens, then there is the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness, the faithfulness, the self-control. Against such things there is no law. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. How do you fight the Christmas blues if you're facing some difficulties at Christmas? You get your mind off your problems and get your mind on the Lord. Well, we are opening the phone lines when we come back from the break. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony, how God turned some things around for you, I would love to hear about it. We would love to hear about it. So please pick up the phone and give me a call and let's talk. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking about the cure for the Christmas blues. And we said the cure is to fix your mind, fix your eyes on the Lord Jesus, and set your mind on him. And whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's a good repute, if there's any excellence and anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. We have the privilege, as God has given us the freedom, to rejoice in the Lord, to make the choice to rejoice no matter what's going on in life, because The Lord is the one who is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. He's the God who doesn't change. Circumstances change. Feelings change. The Lord does not change. You can trust Him and His goodness. Well, we're going to the phone lines. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Love to hear from you. Question, comment, a brief testimony about overcoming the Christmas blues. And we have our friend Lee on the line from Virginia. Lee, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yeah, Pastor Jeff, I hope you have a wonderful Christmas.
Thank you, sir.
I got to thinking about Christmas and the true meaning of Christmas. We get salvation through Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sins, healing. Everything that we get in life comes through Jesus Christ, everything that's good. And He is truly the gift that keeps on giving. And in your thing about our Congress, I was watching last night about Social Security. Congress slipped in that vote. A guy from the Social Security Administration read that Congress voted to raise their salary from $70-some thousand a month to a little over $200,000 a month. I mean, a year.
Right.
But they couldn't do anything to help the average person, but they could vote themselves a raise. I think it was like 200%.
It was a lot. I don't think it was that much, but it was a healthy amount. And it's just pitiful what those guys are doing. And you know, it's not all of them. Obviously, not everybody is involved in writing those 1,500 pages. You wonder who's writing those 1,500 pages, but they don't give them enough time to look at that. And you know, Ronald Reagan was always wanting the line item veto. He said, "I had the line item veto as a governor, but I don't have that as president." So these bills come in, and it's just all this pork in there. And you know, you take out all the junk, and so that you can have the good stuff. And so that's like one lady said, it was a congresswoman, she said, "Well, I want to have hurricane relief for the people in my you know, in my district, but then I have to sign off on all this other junk to get what I really want." And so that's how they do those things to get their pet projects approved. And it's just pitiful. A line item veto would be great if the president had that authority. Well, I appreciate you, Lee. God bless you, brother. I hope you have a great Christmas, too. We have Obi on the line from West Virginia. Obi, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Bresch, and God bless you on this wonderful season.
Thank you.
I just want to mention, you're speaking of the Christmas blues. It takes me back over 25 years when I was alone, single, and, you know, was really not looking forward to the holidays. And I had a friend that was in a similar situation. And so I'm scratching my head, what are we going to do? So we found a church that was serving meals to those that were in need on Christmas Day. And so we went up and we participated in that. And Pastor Jeff, memories of that bring back one of the most wonderful Christmases that I have ever had. When alone, they say one of the best things you can do is go serve somebody in need. And boy, that certainly was true for several Christmases back then, those many years ago. And I just thank God for the opportunity to serve Him in that way. And when you do, it's like the Spirit of God in you starts jumping up and down and just saying, hip, hip, hooray, you know? So that's how I overcame the blues of Christmas many, many years ago. Thank you, Pastor Jeff.
Amen. That's a great word, Obi. Yeah, you know, one of the best ways to combat all those negative feelings and the black cloud that can come into our lives as we start to really focus in on the problems and difficulties in our life is to get outside of yourself and start doing for other people. And that's exactly what you did. And as your testimony states, that changes your heart. You start seeing, hey, my life does make a difference. It's back to the George Bailey thing. It's perspective. And so to see, hey, God still has a plan for me, and things might have changed and things might not be quite what they were, but my life isn't over. My life has meaning and purpose as I use it to bless and to help other people. So great word, Obi. Thanks for calling in with that. We have Ron on the line from Tennessee. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi. I just want to make a quick comment that $1 trillion plus in interest payments on the national debt, which is uncertain if it's $35 or $36 trillion. That's 36,000 billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. If you divide it between every man, woman, and child, it's roughly a little over $100,000, give or take. And this is treason, because it's exactly as Elon Musk explains. It's theft. That's not their money. It's inflation. It's taxation. It's unconstitutional. And they just keep manufacturing consent in the government to hire their own controllables. I call them the friends, family, freaks, and weirdos of the controllable class. And it's got to stop. It's got to stop.
Right. You're exactly right, Ron. And that's, I think, you know, Elon Musk sees that. Vivek Ramaswamy sees that. Trump sees that. And if it doesn't stop, then we go bankrupt. And that's not going to be good for anybody. And so you can't spend money you don't have. And then you got to look at what you're spending. I remember talking to a friend of mine in ministry who at one time he told me he was making $40,000 a month in speaking and writing. Well, that lasted for a certain amount of time, and he built up a lifestyle that coincided with that money coming in. But then $40,000 a month, which is just a huge amount of money, went down to $10,000 a month, which is still a lot of money. But he was going under every month. He was losing money every month because he still had that huge lifestyle. I said, you got to cut expenses. I mean, it's not brain surgery. I mean, you just can't spend more money than you bring in. And, you know, if you go from $10,000 a month down to $2,000 a month, well, you got to cut significantly. You got to find another place to live. You got to live within your means. And does that mean, you know, the perks that you once had go away? Yes. Yes. You know, we talk about tightening your belt. Every family has to do that if the money changes. And here's the thing, as I said earlier, if you will consistently live under your means, you have margin. You have money for those rainy days, for those difficult times that you can weather the storm until you can get back out on your feet. But if you're always just right at the, you know, like running your car engine on the red line, you're gonna blow a gasket. There's no margin there. And it's not going to be good. That's not the way God has called us to live. He's called us to be prudent and wise and responsible. Well, we have Starla on the line from Louisiana. Starla, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi.
Hi.
In reference to the Congress giving the voting themselves a raise.
Yes.
The thing that makes me so sick about that is when they do vote themselves a raise, they vote their raise more higher, like $50,000, higher than the average American makes per year.
Yes.
Also, when they do give them the military and our fighting people a raise, it's either 1 or 2% or they reject it altogether.
Yes.
So these are some of the things that make me sick and embarrass me as an American.
Well, it's pretty shameful that somebody would do that. But you know, I mean, they put it in there, and then the guys, you know, I mean, if your boss at your job said, "Hey, you tell me what you want your raise to be, and just you vote for it, and then we'll do it." You know, it's the fox guarding the hen house. It's hard to not, you say, hey, I think we, if there are no restraints, let's give myself this kind of raise. And so it's sad that they do that. You know, it's sad when you think about people that are supposed to be serving the populace and serving the masses, and they just get wealthy off the masses. That's not what the founding fathers set up for these jobs in government. They weren't jobs to feather someone's own nest. You serve, you get. I mean, I don't begrudge them getting a healthy salary for what they do, but Nancy Pelosi leaving office with $240 million of net worth that she made off of, seems to me to be trading with knowledge that the rest of us didn't have, and that's just wrong. And Joe Biden, as he throws her under the bus, he says that's wrong and we should change the laws so that they can't do that. But I appreciate that, Starla. Thanks for calling in. We have Frank on the line from Kentucky. Frank, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Merry Christmas, Pastor.
Merry Christmas to you, Frank.
I wanted to ask you a question. Did you say they were going to pass the bill or they're not going to pass it?
I think the bill is dead. Elon Musk did a lot on X to make sure that people knew about it, and people were calling their Congress representatives, and so I don't think they're going to pass that bill.
Okay, I wasn't clear what actually you said, because I wanted to call the congressman, but I don't know the phone number.
Yeah, so that's what I'm understanding is he's effectively gotten enough people to know what is in this bill, and people have been up in arms saying, do not vote for that. That is not something that would be good for America at all. So that's the way I understand it, Frank. Anything else?
What a Christmas present for this country, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, Elon Musk is working for the people. You know, as he said, hey, all spending is taxation, and it affects the average guy on the street. You know, it affects Main Street. And so we want to start being wise, and we want to say, hey, we got to cut spending, not add all this pork to our spending, because frankly, we can't handle it. We're in too much debt as it is, and we need to go the way of austerity, not the way of prosperity, in terms of just spending like a drunken sailor, as the old expression goes. So God bless you, my brother. We have David on the line from Texas. David, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you for taking my call, and Merry Christmas, Pastor.
Merry Christmas.
So I have an acquaintance at the dog park that I've been meeting with for a couple of years, and he and I, discussing scripture, he does not believe the Holy Spirit is deity. Is that a salvation issue?
He believes that Jesus is God?
Yes, but he said some things like he's not sure he was sinless. And speaking of the birth, so I mean, he's got some really,
yeah.
But that one thing is one. You know, my question today is denying the deity of the Holy Spirit, because I pointed out to him in John, Jesus uses the masculine singular term in speaking of him, and he's just like, well, I'm not buying that. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know.
The definitive passage on the deity of the Holy Spirit is in Acts chapter 5, where Peter talks to Ananias, and he said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? After it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And so he says, you've lied to the Holy Spirit, and you've lied to God, because the Holy Spirit is God. God exists in Trinity, and if you know the Lord, you know that God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one, not three gods, one God, just like a triangle. You have an equilateral triangle has three angles. They're all the same, 3 points, not three triangles, one triangle with 3 points. If you take away a point, the triangle is no longer a triangle, and God exists in Trinity. And that's how we understand him from Scripture, and that's how we receive him. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I'll be with you again tomorrow as we talk about current events. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.